something we do during the Vasa period here at Abhayagiri. We study the Vinaya, we study the precepts. Usually we go straight through the 227 bhikkhu precepts, but then we also study what's called the watas, the kichawatas. In Thai they say call wat. So the kichawata, the protocols and etiquettes, and these come up a lot in the Thai forest tradition. The acharya wata, how you look after the teacher. The akanduka wata, which is looking after guests, the, you know, everything, the sanasana wata, how to look after the dwelling place properly. We look after, we learn about all those kichawatas as well, and that's also something that's just every year, it's been part of the rhythm, part of the pulse of Abhayagiri, of the monastery. So not only do we, so in terms of a year, we have the winter retreat. We begin our year with the winter retreat. 3 months of retreat period, we study the Dhamma. There's Dhamma readings, Dhamma teachings. Winter retreat crew comes and looks after the kitchen. There's a maintenance crew in the monastic community, focuses wholeheartedly on the practice and on the study of Dhamma. April comes through. We receive guests again. And during that time, there's usually a fair amount of coming and going, traveling, and the activity ramps up in the monastery. And if there's any building projects or anything to look after, that happens during that time. You enter the Vasa period. There's still work, still building projects, because the Vasa period here isn't the rains retreat. It isn't the rains per se. It isn't the monsoon season like it is in Asia. But still, we observe it. There's a lot of rules around it. You have a formal entering of the Vasa. You have the ending of the Vasa, you have the Katina ceremony, so there's all these Vinaya rules around it, so we still observe it. And during that time, we have Vinaya classes, so we study the Vinaya during that time. And the monastic community would sit around and we'd do real-life situations, discuss real-life scenarios around our rules and the discipline and the Vinaya. How do we, like the money rules, we can't accept money, but how do we, there's a lot of different things around money these days. So what happens when somebody offers you a Starbucks gift card, for example? Can you accept it? Can you not accept it? Yes, you can, because it's a prepaid gift card. So you're not actually, it's not actually money. So, but then things like credit cards, well, no, because it actually is too close to being actual money. And so we talk about the rules in that way. And real life scenarios, modern life scenarios, how do we hold these rules and still keep to the spirit of them? And so, but we, and also you can't, like a bhikkhu can't leave for longer than 6 nights, and he has to have a valid reason to leave during that time, so the community is very stable during that time, during the Vasa period. Then there's the Katina ceremony, which is a big coming together of the lay people and a big offering ceremony. So that Vasa period with the Vinaya classes, then the Katina ceremony, there will tend to be more traveling then and coming and going and visiting elders. Like Longpo Viradamo would make a point of coming here nearly every year, sometimes coming for the Katina ceremony. There's a plan for Ajahn Amaro to come this year for the Katina ceremony, so we'll see if we can make that happen. And then there's the slowdown period, and Longpo Pasano would actually go to Thailand every year in December, and he'd be gone for a month. So that was a yearly thing, keep that connection going with Thailand, with all of the various energies at Wat Bapong, Wat Phananachat, and Bangkok. Yeah, just keep that connection going. So that's really like there is a certain pulse to the year in the monastery, and it seems very balanced. You get the winter retreat, you've got that good chunk of time for diving into the practice head first, and you've got other times which are doing a bit more service for the community and allowing people into the monastery as guests. And so we've got these different periods of time we can use. And so with all the memories that have built up over the past many years over Abhayagiri, there is this kind of like pulse that's become established in the monastery. And yeah, it's quite good. And it just builds up over the years. There's just so many people who have come through here at this point. And so many people who have come and gone. Some have come and stayed. Some have come and stayed for a while and then left. It's very much a center of learning as well. So we try to provide a center for people to learn about the practice. Also, another part of that pulse I forgot to mention was the Thanksgiving retreats. Those were actually happening since before the inception of Abhayagiri. And these Thanksgiving retreats, and I think it was done at Thanksgiving just because that was the only open slot at the time. They were doing it at Spirit Rock for a while, I think. Or it used to be like Spirit Rock, Angela Center, trade-off. Okay. Mostly at the Angela Center, but sometimes at Spirit Rock, yeah. And so Kathy, who's here now, managed the last three Thanksgiving, the last three Thanksgiving retreats. And Hitesi was the manager before that, right. So that's part of it as well, doing these Thanksgiving retreats, which last year, because of the pandemic, having it in-house and doing it online, kind of similar to how we're doing this,